Australian Bible Church, November the 25th, 2012. We're a Presbyterian church following the Bible without qualification, and the Lord Jesus Christ without compromise, by faith, in agreement with the basic thrust of the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church of Australia, 1901, the Church of our Forefathers. Today, Christ, characters and categories. Christ, the source of life, man made in the Lord's image with considerable freedom, characters, and people going in different directions, categories. From Luke 11:44 to Luke 12:12 this morning. Luke 11:44 starts out with some very engraved sorts of words to hit the mind. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like graves, which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. What a blistering, caustic, stringent categorization of the character of one of the major ecclesiastical groups of the time. So dead, so buried, so long out of spiritual reality that you're not only dead, you're in a grave. You're not only in a grave, the graves themselves are covered with the moss of time, so that those who walk over them are not even conscious that it is a graveyard. Sometimes you have to cut deep to remove a vicious cancer, endangering life itself in the very operation. Sometimes God cuts deep in the lacerations of his lordship, cutting deep into the soil of the character and the carnal rebelliousness of men, if by any means waking them up, even through so penetrating an operation, he might deliver them from a graveyard into which there is no penetration. The death while yet living. This is the first element of the frauds that we're looking at as we discover the content of these verses. Next, in verses 46 to 48, we come on their blindness. Woe to you lawyers, for you load men with the burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. So meticulously canny, so knowledgeably penetrating are you to discover problems that you do not solve, to indicate burdens which you do not lift. Woe to you, he proceeds, for you build the tombs of the prophets and your fathers killed them. All this ceremonial consciousness of this glorious spiritual inheritance of your nation, which you so ponderously affirm, making even tombs to the illustrious past of your culture, to the prophets. In effect, the way they're being treated and the way you are treating the Son of God himself may be the background to it. What you are doing is bearing witness that you approve of those deeds, and of course, lurking in the background, and you're shortly to perform the worst of them all on Christ himself. These words have a prophetic figure, a deep wounding which might, by its very penetration, move some to avoid this outcome, even if but a small percentage of the group concerned. Never allow the group master of a group to intimidate your presentation of the gospel. If one out of 100 is one. That is one child to be adopted into glory. In fact, said Christ, verse 48, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for you indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Their blindness. They don't know what they're doing. They are zombies amongst the dead. sophisticated, glorious ignoramuses. And then we come, thirdly, to their confrontations, this specious, superficial, self-important, imposing group, scribes and Pharisees, leaders amongst the cultivated religious people of the day. We come to their confrontations with the wisdom of God. And here we have a fascinating mode of speech in verse 49. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said. So, the wisdom of God said. Should you look back to Matthew 23:34, we read, therefore indeed, I send prophets, wise men and scribes. Turning back to Luke 11:49, therefore the wisdom of God also said, I will send. So Christ is the equivalent of the wisdom of God. As John 5, let's look at it, 19 to 23 makes clear in terms of his status. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I tell you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. Whatever he does, the Son does also in like manner. You try and play cricket like Bradman in the same manner. You've got to have, when you get to the top, that sort of gifts. You're going to have an identity crisis. You're going to be Bradman himself. When it comes to God, there's no question. This is God speaking as God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things. How could you show all things if you were a Bradman to a kid of 10? God the Father shows all things to the Son for the simple reason they are both God, and one has the power to present and the other the power to receive. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. One God. I and my Father are one. One will. One power, the speaker, the spoken, and the spirit which presents and applies. One God. The wisdom of God. In John 12:48-50, we see that Christ is obeying the Father's commands. He's given him what he shall say. Christ executed in Proverbs 8. There is that beautiful representation. Wisdom is for a time imaged as a woman saying, don't listen to these harlots, to these evil women who will entice you. And of course, the romantic side is only a figure. Ultimately, for the spiritual side, there are spiritual harlots who would entice people to leave or corrupt the churches. But wisdom is seen as a pure woman saying, don't listen to that mess. Come to me and listen. And as it goes on into Proverbs 8, you see in the end that we see that this figure is just a figure for God himself. Because he says, all those who hate me love death. Here is the criterion for conscience. For conscience, here is the destiny for man. Wisdom. Christ has made unto us wisdom and redemption, says 1 Corinthians 1. Made unto us wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30-31. And so, the wisdom of God said, turning back to Luke, the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which are shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. What, fourthly, a crushing load. The blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world shall be required of this generation. Oh, the lamentations of Jeremiah in the earlier devastation of Jerusalem. But what of this? Not for 70 years, but for 1900 years. The Jews have been spewed out of Israel. How vicious have been the new Babylons. Many a nation inhabiting their land, defiling their name, mocking them, as God said, they would be mocked for departing from their own Savior and Lord. So that even today you read of someone in Hamas, saying, I will bring up my little son so that he will hate Israel, so that he will die fighting it. What else is worth doing? This is in the Quran, says he, as well it might be said in essence. For the prize of victory is so often an eternity with Allah. All spurious, all based on a false Christ. As much rejecting the actual Christ as the Jews ever did. Now they try to hunt the Jews, returned in mercy according to promise, vigorous in its victories according to promise, but surrounded by those who would destroy them according to promise. And they now sharpen their teeth and their weapons as if to destroy Israel, saying, now we can attack Jerusalem, now we can attack Tel Aviv, now we have rockets, now we have Iran, now we have Egypt on side, now, yes, we know all about that. Ezekiel 38-39 is all predicted. And it ends, oh, how we pity the little kids brought up. Like Fagin in Dickens, teaching them to pickpocket. These are being taught to pick lives. Little children, brought up in hatred, this world cannot continue on a recipe of hate based on a personal survival, which is the expertise of rats, instead of love for one another under the auspices of the God who made us and has sent the Redeemer for us. Without that redemption, God would be responsible for all the evil. But he has not only made us free, he has given us redemption. And if this be rejected, you get what you've got. You get what you've got. This is verification invincible. Not only that, as we know, Matthew 24, Luke 21, the details are precisely predicted. The return of Jerusalem was precisely Luke 21:24 as predicted and so forth. So there is a crushing load which would come upon those in the day of Christ when they religiously, with their own mantras of the day, sophisticated ignoramuses, when they killed him, as so many seek to kill the Jew now, as one of the representatives of God, even though they have not as yet returned to their Lord. When this happens, we shall see as we used to see, as Micah 7:15 so clearly tells us, that the God of the Jews was their real power and life. And when that God is acting in a given setting, he doesn't fail. He does precisely as he will, Psalm 115. Be patient, but never confuse patience with deficiency. A very loving, very merciful, but never confuse mercy with justice in a fit of absenteeism. It comes. It comes. Wait for it. It will surely come. And so we proceed on to the knowledgeably ignorant as we look further in 11:52. Woe to you, lawyers. Sometimes hear of a doctor who does breast work or face work and leads to death. And they wonder, how in the world did he ever get in? You have the same in religion. Interesting, you know. Actually, factually, visibly and undeniably, we've got various major heresies of Christianity. They use Christ, they seek authority through him and through the Old Testament or the New or both. And yet they use force contrary to John 18:36. And to Christ's instruction to Peter about the use of the sword. They use force to get their particular heresy of Christianity going and flowing. The Mohammedans have done it for centuries. So have the Roman Catholics. And communism, which is just a caricature of Christianity, making the people the savior, even though the invisible elite run the people, all of these are just direct or indirect sects, heresies of Christianity. Well, you had them in Christ's day too. Heresies of the truth. Woe to you lawyers! You got the goods, have you? You're popular, are you? You got power, have you? You can crucify Christ, can you? Well done, my militants. But why not read the rest of Psalm 2, quoted at Pentecost in those areas? Why not read the rest of Psalm 2? I mean, God gives you paths. Examinations give you paths. And there are results. Why do the nations rage? They're surely raging now. And the people plot a vain thing. Yes, against Jewry. I mean, Turkey and Qatar, and Egypt, and all the Islamic nations, more or less, and those who, for the sake of peace and oil, or whatever, are also trying to get little bits more out of little, tiny, weeny, itsy-bitsy Israel. Why do the nations rage? People plot a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Messiah, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces, cast away their cords. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and distress them with his deep displeasure. Yet I've set my king on my holy hill. To him he says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. Christ will rule on this earth. The earth will be covered with the knowledge of the glory of God, as the waters cover the sea. It goes on in Psalm 2, you shall break them with a rod of iron. Justice hasn't evaporated because God is merciful. These are days of opportunity. Wise are those who turn from their sectarian, their heretical, their varied devices, using this bit and that bit of Christianity but forgetting the rest. Wise are those who listen. It says, verse 10, now be, therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. The fear of God is clean, enduring forever. I like the old iodine. It stings, I know better than is so much easier, but there was a certain crisp, sure, enterprising feeling about him. And in cleaning, there's a crisp, real enterprise of actual cleaning, whatever the particular emotions that may be evoked. Rejoice with trembling. Don't ooze about in your religion because it's cultural. The princes of this world will be overthrown. Kiss the Son. Show a real devotion to the Son of God, the only Savior, the only one in all history who is again to look all-powerful, all-pure, all-majestic, all-fulfilling of all prophecies without competition. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. And on the other side, why not? Blessed all those who put their trust in him. He that believes in me has everlasting life, said Jesus Christ. As to the one that believes not, John 3:36, the wrath of God abides. You know how, particularly down by the seaside, a mist will sometimes stay for quite a long time? So the mist of the wrath of God abides without cease on those who reject the only mercy available in this universe or outside of it. Knowledgeably ignorant. What did they do? Not only did they fail to see the point and enter themselves into the kingdom, others roaring like rockets up to the stratosphere of spirituality were diverted. So they fizzled back to earth like Challenger. Spiritual challenges. Why? In many cases, because these sophisticated ignoramuses defeated them. You not only did not enter yourself, says Christ, you not only did not enter yourselves, but those who were entering you hindered. You're an obstruction. And then look at their vehement assault on the truth. He's not a Jew, ignorant. And as he said, 11:53 of Luke, and as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him. What do you think this is? How dare you say these things? Etc. You know how people assail vehemently in politics and religion in particular, also in divorce cases. They began to assail him vehemently. That signifies that they're getting into their stride. And to cross-examine him. What about your birthplace? They might say. Bethlehem, what's that got to do with it? Well, of course, Micah 5, 1-3 does state that. But so many people, rich in their religious inheritance, have little idea of what was in the book. They asked such foolish questions and were ignorant of such obvious manifestations of the truth. It's exactly the same in the evolutionary mandate. You have this man over there in one of the top universities of the world saying, sure, it may look like just so stories. Sure, it may seem incredible, the words of this effect, but we will not give it up. Yes, 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 yes. It's a religion. It's a religion. Nothing to do with the truth. New information isn't seen, let alone new kinds of creatures, without the intelligence. Marvelous to say, you don't get linguistic commands controlling a program without making the thing. That's how intelligence works. You don't get figs out of thistles, nor language out of chaos. They cross-examined him. They tried to find a weakness. Vehemently. Not only that, they looked at their strategies. They consider how they could take him. Perhaps if we probe him that way, and while he's reacting, get him that way, we'll have him. That's what it says in type. Lying in wait for him. And seeking to catch him. From our recent politics in this country, much to be lamented. Morally, spiritually, emotionally, and factually. You can see the ideas of seeking to catch someone in something that he might say, that they might accuse him. He said this, take him before the Sanhedrin, he shall die because he said, etc. A rub out of the Christ that Hamas is conferring now on Israel. Rub it out. Yes, 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 says Tehran. No. Not at all, says God. Watch and see. The word of God is never broken. But that has a positive side. And God who says, he who believes my word and him who sent me shall not come, does not come into condemnation. It's a completely different universe. Has eternal life and is passed from a state of death into a state of life. Every effort to break it fails. Every link once made holds. Some people taste and spit out. We're not talking of that. You have to eat and drink. He that drinks of the water I shall give shall never thirst again. And so this vehement assault and the cross-eyed examination of the truth. They cross-examined the truth. How people love to do that. Lying in wait. Their piety seeking to make truth its prey. How many do that? They have foolish things. I remember a communist once telling me, the man's a machine and mistakes are just where it goes wrong. I said to him, a machine doesn't make mistakes. A machine does what it is as a machine. There is no question of something other than it is. What it is, it does. We make mistakes. We're not machines. I'll let him off shortly later. Lying in wait, trying to catch, trying to pervert, trying to disturb. And so we move on to the testimony of truth, finally. The testimony of truth. We look at the way of truth. People gather together, they're trampling on each other, and Christ makes this announcement. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there's nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. You won't even have the darkness where the secret sounds come. It will be in the light. Truth is like that. Truth loves light. Truth doesn't say in schools you cannot discuss creation. Truth loves the light. It delights in the facts. It has no fear of them. It is the tyranny of little minds and deadened hearts which refuse even the discussion and refutation. Born from truth, a land of darkness, when someone called this a Christian country, I could barely laugh. Christian? When they put the children to the fires of folly? Christian? When they're seeking to remove truth, even in newspapers? Truth? To supplant it with what reasonable men think is fitting. A new God, a social God, constructed on nothing. What you have spoken and done, and your dealings with others, including children, all of this in the light. The way of truth. Then we come to the wisdom of truth, 12:4-7. And I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Take a long view and think. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered? Don't fear, therefore. You have more value than many sparrows. And here we see the first of 2 cases, where first of all, a very grand and dangerous and impelling and perilous situation is revealed, and then there's given hope and scope and help on the other side, the positive. Fear him, step 1. But the very hairs of your head are numbered, step 2. Fear him, the negative. The hairs of your head are numbered, don't fear, the positive. If you must have judgment, well, it isn't very nice. It never was and never will be. But if you are willing to take mercy instead, it is very lovely and always will be. The divine mercy of God. This reminds me of a case. This beautiful, particularized, merciful care which comes to people as they do follow the Lord instead of going astray. I was reading in a book concerning Evelyn Brand, related to the famous Dr. Paul Brand. Actually, a book, 10 Outstanding Christian Women. And the lady was relating, or the story is being told, that when she lost her husband, life didn't seem quite the same intimate marvel that it had. They'd been so together. But she decided she'd get on his horse. Rather too feisty for her normally, but so be it. She felt this way. She got on his horse. She had to go through a rather dangerous way involving a track rather narrow around the mountain. She wasn't looking forward to it, but she went. And on the feisty horse at that. And at a certain point, the horse suddenly turned right. It departed from the track. He had found a much less dangerous path, and the horse knew it. But she didn't. And he took it, and she was delivered. It reminds you of Isaiah 42:16. Let's look at it. I will bring by the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. This was in reference to Israel. Before its conversion, as in Ezekiel 37, before its conversion, coming back to the land. Even though they didn't know the path yet, even though that was to be revealed later, as in Zechariah 12, return to Christ, they're still led back. And the Christians can take comfort. If God can do that to people who don't even know him, how much more can you rely on him? Who says the very hairs of your head are numbered. To take you by paths you haven't known, to difficulties you have known, and to other difficulties you haven't thought of, until they suddenly appear like dragons and monsters. How much more can he be relied on? To take you through a way better than a known way, his own way, having provided for everything, so don't worry, but do trust, do seek, do pray, and do wait upon the Lord. The Lord is the God who acts for those who wait for him and rejoice in his, not their, his ways. The wisdom of truth, and then the depth of truth. In our final verses, also I tell you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will confess before the angels of God. Don't sweat. When you have a spiritual opportunity, use it. What mother who has an opportunity to bring running water to her house will not seize it when it offers? And she has children to look after. What person longing with the love of Christ to bring others from the darkness will fail to use an opportunity to bring spiritual water to them through prevailing testimony? I'll tell you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me, I mean, there is a test, there's no use pretending. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. Christ took it and takes it. Most merciful. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. There's the negative, immense. For people who've played with spirituality and don't know what they're doing and won't and refuse. Implacable recalcitrance. But then we come to the positive side, for those not in that category, who are not interested in speaking even against the Holy Spirit, a thing which Christ spoke of further in Matthew 12:24-32. The people were attributing his works of goodness and healing to the devil. There you are getting like a piece of meat in boiling water. You're being shrunk and shriveled and the strength is being taken out of you if you attribute even to the salvation the disastrous unholiness of the devilishness. Your whole soul is being beaten up and taken over. Mercy has its face spat on. Yes, yes, that can happen. That can happen with people who don't trust in the Lord. And remember, he who once drinks of the water I shall give, that's in the verb, those who drink of it shall never thirst again. There's no need to worry. In fact, not only is there no need to worry, you trust him. Verse 11, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, don't worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you should say. If you're a friend of Christ, the Holy Spirit is a helper, a comfort, a joy, a marvel. Nurtures you, looks after you, supplies you, strengthens you, stimulates you, stirs you. Has that amazing capacity to lull you or incite you, as the case may be. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen addressed them. And what a thing. You do always resist the Holy Spirit, he said to them. You don't want to get into that category. Rather receive the Lord. And if you do, look at the help. The Holy Spirit will teach you in your darkest hour before judges on trial, will teach you in that very hour what you should say. The depth of truth, how wonderful it is. Christ, through freedom, making characters who may dump the miserable episodes of their past and find the mighty magnificences of the mercy of God through faith in the grace, the power, the prevailing, the cost paid by Christ, entering freely. I am the door, by me if anyone enter, he shall be saved. Write that in your book, in your heart, and shall go out and find pasture. My sheep will never perish. They hear my voice. They know me. Amen. Our Father, we thank you that your sheep know you. It is not a matter of a priest or a cardinal or a pompous or a pope or a guru or a caliph or any of the array of dignitaries. It is a matter of one God, one Christ, one book, one salvation paid for in full in the most merciless seeming but mercy-giving event of all time. One salvation forever. How we thank thee for the singularity that is spiritual. In Jesus' name, amen.